Thank you so much for being here this morning. And I'm so glad to see the house full and those who are listening all the way from Brooklyn, New Jersey, New Mexico, Texas. Greetings to all of you. I just want to give you a little propaganda for some services of the church. And tonight we are on Revelation 5. And if you're not here, you can listen over the internet. But you can request the copies. For long times, for years, I love Revelation 5. And I need a little more so that the volume on here, so that there will be on the tapes and CD a little more volume. What happened is I was not satisfied. And in my interview with Oxford University, I'm doing Revelation with the professors there, I told them they thought there was a great outline that I scratch, and they will give me all the editing form. So before you do that, I want to tell you something. I'm not happy. There is something more. So they asked me a few questions and over the internet with the professors, and I was able to answer the questions with the scripture in a mighty way. And some of you asked me questions on the internet that put me to search more. And for the first time in my life, I really understood those 24 elders and the glorious moment when the redemption of believers take place. So I want to preach it with that excitement. I'm so excited. And I wrote the paper, and they rewrote it and back to me, and I have the copies for you. And for those who are in the internet, you can request it, and it will be sent to you. But that's one service tonight. And then on Wednesday night, to my surprise, and Chad should not be surprised, but to my surprise, I said, I want to take a break on the summer times. And I said, better than that, the churches are not reading the Bible. So why we don't have a service where we read 5 chapters of the Bible and start where the Bible starts, in Genesis. And it has been a success. I mean, a real success. To our wonder, to recall the things that were written. And to investigate some of the things that we perhaps read it and paid no attention to it. But last Wednesday, I was blessed. Here in the pulpit was an Assyrian. Assyrian, you know, the real Nebuchadnezzar people. And boy, Ramsey, hear me, kill me. But this tall Iranian was reading the scripture for the first time aloud in the English language, he said. And he read in a conversation style that we all like it because we can follow it through. It was Genesis 31 to 36. And it was a remarkable joy comes. I think we go to pray with a great joy. And Brother Wayne has said when it was his turn to read, he said, I'm going to breathe to you God's word. And that's true. 2 Timothy 3:16. And so if you cannot come, just hook in the internet and just for the fun, listen. And you will be hooked forever because the reading of the Word of God says, oh, that happened. Oh, that nasty guy. Oh, you know, it's just fantastic how God blesses us and we take it right there. And almost last Wednesday was read so well that almost we need no further explanation. On this, it was absolutely good. All right. Now, we turn your Bible to 3 John, and it's only one chapter. It was a small letter written to a man. And in our July series is on personal living. And last Sunday, we studied something very important, making wise decisions. You know, you're a businessman and you make an unwise decision, you're going to lose money, and sometimes you're going to lose perhaps your business. If you're a young man and you make unwise decision, you're going to lose a lot of years in your life. That's what my father used to say, is study that you're going to use in your life mightily and you will enjoy it. Study hard, succeed, and do the things you want to, but don't waste your time, she said. Don't waste your time. All right, here we are in the second lesson, And we all go to doctors, so we're going to get familiar to this. We all need the doctor here and there for something that happened to us. And so I want to talk to you about a prescription for a spiritual health. A prescription for a spiritual health. Now, as you have the letter of 3 John in your hand, 3 John is a letter addressed to a man by the name Gaius. Look at verse 1. They said, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And the elder is John. John is in jail in an island, in the island of Patmos, almost inhabited. And so he had no distractions, and he has the joy to be in communion with God. And as an elder, he writes to Gaius. John expressed his concern for Gaius' physical well-being. Look at in verse 2. Beloved, he said, I pray that you may prosper in all things. See, so you can pray for prosperity, don't we? I pray you may prosper in all things. So it's biblical to pray that God will prosper in your business, in your life, prosper in all things, and be in health. The original is a little tricky, it's passive, and indicate that your health may improve, will be a good translation. So he maybe knew, I don't know how, there were no cell phones there, no communication, but he knew this man needs help. Just as your soul prosper, or your soul is very dynamic. So John expressed his concern for Gaius' physical well-being, and John implied the excellent status of Gaius' spiritual well-being. He said in this verse, as your soul prosper. And now, in other words, he said, I like your physical body to be in such a prosperity as your soul is. Isn't that a great comment? I want that to me. That's a great comment. Say, I want you to be so healthy physically as you are so healthy spiritually. So John and Gaius must know each other very well, that John knows something. But look at verse 3. What was the secret of the spiritual health that this man enjoyed? For I rejoice greatly when brethren came. So that's how he knew people went to visit John and testify of the truth that is in you. Just, here's the secret. You walk in the truth. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Not only Gaius read the truth, which we all do in the Bible here and there. Not only Gaius agree with the truth, he walk in the truth. You know what that means? He just live like the Bible tells you to live. He did what the Bible said. He spoke like the Bible told him to speak. Fantastic, man. So I thought, what about our spiritual well-being? You know, just like physical health requires a proactive approach to the wellness. My doctor lately said, I want you to increase your dynamic stress. So what that is? That is, you increase the hours you are in the gym so you don't need any medicine. And I got a little, at the beginning, you know, when you do 1 hour of intense activity, you go the treadmill, not just treadmill, but you put the treadmill to 12, up, and then that down, and all this, and you go into lift weighting, and you go, I said, why? So I stopped a half hour, took a break, took another half hour. Man, the first time, I was exhausted. I went to bed, and then after an hour of it. But you know, now it's so natural. If I don't do it, I feel bad about it. And I'm so dynamic, I just move all the time. At 73, I thought I was good. This doctor knows what he's doing. So you need to have an approach to wellness that is fit to you. And we need it, all right? So what is need is to maintain a good level, and the doctor said, in dynamic move of your blood, so the sugars and the other things that are in it will level along, and you will be okay. So the only thing I have to do is take a blood test every 6 months, and you will be okay. Now I thought, I had to ask a question. What is needed to maintain a good level of a spiritual health? Suppose you come to me and say, Pastor, I want you to counsel me. What do you recommend I should do to have a great spiritual health? That's a great question. And you will put me on the spot. I want you to counsel me. Well, in medicine, doctors have a book. It's called PVR, P as Peter, D as David, and R. It's called Physician's Desk Reference. See, the physicians don't know anything. They know just a little. And so what they know, you talk to him, he says, I'll be back. He goes to his office. He opens, no longer this. You just take it out of your pocket, in the computer. It's a PVR, Physician's Desk Reference. And you say, I see this person pale, I see this. And then a listing comes on the right. Then you click in here, another listing comes on the right. Then he comes to you, the doctor, and he charges you $75. And he said, I think if we will try this. And then he makes a note, right? It's a note. So then when you come back, say, how things was? Good. Okay, this is good for you. You know, they're learning all the time. So I said, what will be our PDR, our Physician's Desk Reference Book? Which is one? Which one you buy? What do you buy? You buy the Bible. All right, this is the Christian PDR. See, if we can come up with a prescription for a spiritual health, I thought not only I can become a millionaire, but I can help you. All right? And you can be strong. So I got the book of medicine, and I asked the question, what is the key status of health in an individual? And the answer was this. An individual requires a strong immune system to be healthy. That's it. You go to the BDR of medicine, and you ask, what is needed for a great great physical health is a strong immune system. So a doctor will ask the question, why? Now here's the sermon then. Here it is. Number one, to guard off disease. See, without a healthy immune system, relatively a small threat can be deadly. You get a cold and could be dead if you do not have an immune system which is strong. Spiritually, how strong is your ability to withstand small things like temptation? Do you have a strong spiritual system that when a temptation comes, slice off? Do you have a strong spiritual immune system that when somebody is teaching a false teaching, you say, they're wrong. Your antenna goes, and then you don't need anybody to explain to you. You know it's wrong. You need a strong spiritual immune system when, for example, somebody do harassment to you. All right? For those who are Americans, you are saved from a lot of problems. But with Leo, we were the other day in McDonald's, and our second church, McDonald's, and two Americans took our place. So we sit beside them, start talking in Spanish, and they looked at you down. And Leo said, "Here's Dr. Hotel," like that. And I said, "Leo, cool off. Just cool off." We just took their coffee away and said, "This is our place." And they said, harassment. You're driving and somebody cross you. How your antenna goes, "Well, I'm going to get him," you know. Depend your age, I guess. They can cross me now, I don't say anything, but You know, you need a strong immune spiritual system so that when things happen to you, that system rebuttal the things and go off. So you need a strong spiritual immune system to guard off the disease that sin provokes. Number two, you need a strong immune spiritual system to face the inevitable. See, temptation and spiritual hardship, you cannot avoid it. People say, well, how come? And you know what they do? I saw some denominations. They try to put the children in a cocoon. They raise the children in a cocoon. I don't want you to see the world because it's evil, it's evil. And then the children become 18, 19, 20, and they're in the world. And they are with a weak immune spiritual system because they have not been there. Now let me show you something. Go to John 17, 15. That's page 1173. John 17, 15. See, we cannot live in a baboon, in a bubble. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. And look what he prayed. To the Father in the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 15. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus prays, I don't pray that we grow up in this world in a balloon inside a bubble. No, but I pray that you give them a strong system so they keep themselves out of trouble. So we parents raise our children, send them to school, and they face all kinds of things, and we chat with them. See, it's very difficult if you have no parents who are Christian. Very difficult. But if you have parents who are Christian, they sit with you, and you should be able to communicate to your parents. You know, today, they taught evolution. Well, let me tell me what they taught you. And the child will tell you. I said, well, darling, let me show you what the Bible says. And the only thing you have to do is just read Genesis 1, all right? And I said, well, go to the teacher and tell them, have you ever read Genesis 1? That's what I did in my life, all right? I grew up at a moment in university where those professors of physics were communists in a Catholic university. And I discovered them, and I got them fired. You know, I'm a revolutionary. But, you know, I just calm and collected. I listened to them, and I went to the priest, and I said, you know, here's what the scripture said. And this was us. Finally, it was a board meeting. And they asked the professor, said, do you believe in God? No. Well, then get out of here. There was no union there, so we get out of here. So, spiritually speaking, you cannot grow up in this world in a balloon, in a bubble. You grow up in this world, and you know, like your physical body. You know, if you're a teacher, I feel sorry for you. You are exposed to all the sickness of the children. You know, the teacher is the most weak person. You know, she or he is exposed to these 30, 40 children around them with all their sickness. And you need a strong immune system to really cope with that. Well, we are in a world, imagine, 265 million sinners in America. And we are around them, and you work with them, and you eat with them, and you talk with them. And you need to realize that it's no isolation what really helps you. It's a strong spiritual immune system that helps you. I have families in this church years ago. So we're going to move to the mountains and about Sacramento because I don't want my children to be around others and this and the other. And finally, the family divorce. What happened? Well, you know what happened is that it doesn't work in that way. You live in the world, and you need to face this. Spiritually speaking, we need to build a resistance. And let me show it to you. It's in James chapter 4 and in verse 7. James chapter 4 and in verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, submit to God, Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, the Bible doesn't say isolate yourself from the devil. The Bible said resist the devil. Now, you know the reason. The Bible said in John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. So don't be afraid of the devil. He's a defeated man. Remember when he saw Jesus, he said, what do you have to do with me, Jesus? This is not the time yet. Even he knows when the time of the end will be. He said, this is not the time yet. The devil scared to death of Jesus. So don't be afraid of those people who say this and the other. The devil is afraid. They make a lot of noise, of course, but they're afraid of Jesus. And so the Bible said in James 4:7, resist the devil. It's not isolate yourself in a bubble so that you don't get in contact with the devil. No, get your immune system strong that when the devil comes in, goes away without any medicine. I feel sorry. The church in America, Brother Pastor Thompson and I were talking before Sunday school, and he's finding out through my seminary that I study. They've become weak. Christianity is becoming weak. The church is becoming nothing. And so I feel sorry for people who are in church where the Bible is not exposed. So here we have the formula then. We need a strong spiritual immune system to face the things that will come to us. You cannot avoid it. You are in a work, you are driving, you are playing, you're studying, you're going to face the devil. You cannot avoid it. Mama and Papa cannot be there to guard you so that you do not face the devil. You're going to face it. And the Bible said you can be victorious if you have a strong system and you resist him. What the Bible said in James, he will flee away. He's a defeated animal. He's defeated. Now, let's go to the substance of this. A strong immune spiritual system to be able to do a few things. Number one, be careful lest we fall. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think I put the page there. 1247 is the page. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look with me in verse 12. Therefore, let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Take heed is a word that also can be translated, observe yourself. Never be self-confident. Never be self-confident that you will be strong. Never be in that way. When I play in my years of sport, that was my weakness. I'm tall. Most of the plays are short. With my hands up, I almost can reach the horizontal. I was ahead of my goalie with a hand like this, looking the girls on there on the side, you know. And my coach said, you are too confident. One of those days, and a smart guy will watch you. And a smart coach will watch you, give a signal, and somebody will take a Bible ball and go past you, and he's going to walk into the gully. Oh, not me. And one day happened. Be careful. Never give yourself a foot. All right? Be on the alert. Don't put yourself in critical situations. Don't get friends who are half and half. You don't know if they are believers or not believers. Be careful. Be extremely careful. When people talk to you, be careful what they said. Don't fight with them, but you do what God said. And so 1 Corinthians 10:12 said, if you feel too confident, you put your guards down. Don't do that. So we need an immune system for that. Now be cautious. Look at in Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 15 to 17. 5, I get it.
verse 15 to 17.
Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. All right? Redeeming the time. That's so important, time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, he insisted. But what he wants to do is understand what the will of the Lord really is. So be cautious. Be extremely cautious. See exactly how you walk. If what you are doing is the will of God in your life. If you go to a school and you get a grade, 4.0 average, is that the will of God? Yeah, because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved before God. If your mother says something and you obey her, is that the will of God? Yes, it is. If your father give you directions, do I listen to him? Yes, because Ephesians 6:1 said, hear your father and obey it. In other words, understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, most of the people got in trouble today in Christianity because they do not understand what the will of the Lord is. When they come for counseling, I said, now, let me ask you a question. What's the will of the Lord about this issue? So I never thought about it. See, no wonder. No wonder. See? No wonder. You have a nasty husband. What is the will of the Lord for you, lady? You love him more. You don't leave him. You love him more. And you listen to him more. It's just, when you understand the will of the Lord, there is least peace in your heart. Oh, yeah, people outside will think you are suffering, but you say, no, I'm doing what God wants me to do. A lot of people, we were in a wedding yesterday, way in Modesto. I'm glad I live here. It's 110, 111 over there. A great need. And I thought, how precious. In a world today, and when a man marry a man, a woman marry a woman, people live together and they call the shackle together and all of this. Here is this young lady, 28 years old, 29, marrying this Mexican boy, 28, 29, both singles, both dedicated to the Lord. I thought it was great. It made me cry. In an environment in America with marriage is almost gone, now here is this young couple testifying, we do this because this is the will of God. Boy, I felt so happy. They understand what the will of God is. That's what you need to do, young people. Understand what the will of God really is. So that gives you a strong immune system. Be committed, and that's for all of us. I don't know if I'm on the bridge this because after this we go to Jack of the Box. But I don't. Be committed to healthy food. Be committed to healthy food. What is spiritual healthy food? What is it? Well, Matthew 4:4. Jesus tell you. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus was provoked by Satan to do something. And Jesus said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread and hamburgers alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. And if you want to know the mouth of God, go with me to 2 Timothy. Here is where the mouth of God is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here is where the mouth of God is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture, the King James said, is given by inspiration. Is the breathing of God. All scripture, said the original, is the breathing of God and is very good, profitable, for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. And so that is the food, all right? Now, Let me show you an example in 1 Samuel chapter 17, page 350. 1 Samuel chapter 17. As soon as we get there, you will know it by heart what's really happening. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David has to face the giant. All right? And I want you to look with me certain things. All right? So 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to start reading in verse 38, because I want you to see what really happened, and go to verse 39. Now, here is Saul has to battle the Philistines, and the Philistines are there with a big giant. And verse 38 says, so Saul clothed David with his armor. David volunteered to face the enemy of life. And so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. At verse 39, David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had no tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. You know, Saul said, if you're going to face this guy, let me give you whatever humanity has produced, the best of humanity, the best German tank is your inside. With all the human wisdom, you're going to face that man. David tried. He was a spiritual guy, tiny, no hair in his chest. We read it the other day. No hair in his chest, skinny, you know, and just tiny little boy, you know, and so on. And he said, no, listen, all of these wonders of the world, they're not mine. I don't need it. Put it that way. What? King Saul said, I want to protect you. I want to give you all the wisdom. I want to give you all the protection of the world against that fellow. And he said, no. I never do that, so I don't know how to do this. And let me tell you what I'm going to do. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherds. I'm old enough to remember my young days when I killed cats with my little one-point stones on the roof of my grandmother's home, looking for my neighbor cat, choom, and bullet down. I remember that. It's just living, all right? It's good to kill cats in South America. Then he took his staff in his hand, and children, don't do that with your cats. Okay. Five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked upon and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. In other words, he said, I'm the world. I'm going to take over you. We are in this time in America where the Congress said, I'm going to take over you. We had the majority. We're going to pass all the laws that we want to. We are in this time in America. This craziness, you know, happened. What are we going to do? It's just fantastic. Here's the little David. And there are little churches all over America who are faithful. And that's the key. And look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. In other words, you come with everything the world has, but I come to you with the will of God. Look, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. In other words, I come to face you in the will of God. I'm here with my God. What are you talking about? Verse 46. This day, Jehovah will deliver you into my hand. Well, that's security. You walk like this, say, Lord, I lost my job, but you're going to provide for me because you said, if I don't work, I don't eat. So God, you're going to provide for me. I'm going to knock as many doors as possible, and one is going to be open. I know I'm going to be a winner. Do you walk like that? It's just fantastic. It's just fantastic. It excites me. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Wow! And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air. Have you seen that? And where I live, I see that. If a deer die, lasts about an hour and a half. All the birds coming, the bones are left. That's it. Yeah, I saw that. And this guy is telling the other guy. See? Carcasses of the camp, verse 46, of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is of the Lord, and he will give you into my hand. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it in, struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. And you know the story, he went and cut his head. Wow. Be committed. And if you want a strong immune system, be committed. Whatever God said, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever God said, that's what I'm going to do. The whole world do different, but I will do what God said. That's it. Doesn't matter if you are 2 years old or you are 80 years old. Or in this church, 90 years old, or 91 years old, 93. Doesn't matter. Be committed. Whatever God said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's a strong immune system. And then I want to tell you this. Be clever. Avoid junk food. What is junk food? Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look in verse 10. I was planning to read the whole thing, but my time is gone. So I give you the clue verse, verse 10. He said, in the last time there will be for fornicators, for sodomites, for the kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that's junk food. Anything contrary to sound doctrine, that is junk food. And so if you want a spiritual, remarkable, strong immune system, then there is two things you have to do. Two things you have to do. First, you take good food, the Bible. Read it. Read it. I got 300 emails for Wednesday night. People are calling people. Bethel is reading the Bible. Bethel is reading the Bible. Bethel is reading the Bible. I asked those people, imagine each one of you send me a dollar just to pay for the broadcast. The broadcast will be paid. So we got $200, we got $100 before sending money. It's just fantastic. Tiny little church reading the Bible and suddenly disturbing the internet. They're reading the Bible. I expect a call from the government saying, you cannot read the Bible. Something like that. It says, read the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is the food that we need, all right, for a strong immune system. And number two, avoid junk food. Don't take anything that is not the Bible. Put it that way. One of my strong disagreements with my seminary at my time in the 70s was this. Why do I have to read all these other books? Why we don't read the Bible? And I think Brother Greg will endorse that. They ask you to read this and to read the other. And why we don't spend all this energy and all this time, rather than reading a commentary, read the Bible. Just teach me the original language so that I can read it and pass it on to the people. I close it with that beautiful text that's in the notes over there. In 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Desire the pure milk of the word. Don't buy 1% skim milk, but get the 4% vitamin D loaded. And take it in. You just pump up big,
and strong. You know, don't like these milk stupid things. I like the strong thing. You go to the gym, you get the energy out, you get your body in shape. Don't take things weak. Take things strong. Read it. So what they do is say, well, read the Bible, but start in John. Why don't you start in Genesis? Well, you will not understand. That's not the devil. Go to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Berit, barashit, barahim, et ara. Oh! You go to your teachers. Oh, it's not evolution. It is God. And that causes a problem right there. It's just so good. You and I need a strong immune system. To build a strong immune system, say the PDR, the physician desk reference, you need healthy food. Spiritually, you need healthy food. Here you have it. Here you have that. If you have no Bible, take one from the pew. Take it home. Keep it. Next Sunday, bring $100 offering. But keep it. You know what I mean? Read it. Read it. Just for fun. I'm going to read the whole Bible. And you will be delighted. And then that system will make you to resist yourself. And will make you to resist the devil. May God, who is good and mercy, give us a church with a strong, immune, spiritual health. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, you have given us today. You have given us a lesson in how we can keep ourselves from the temptations and the junk of this world. You have provided for us the Holy Spirit who teaches us and strengthens us. So, Lord, help us to be selective in our reading, selective in our priority, that we be a strong people in our community, in our own life, in our homes. Thank you for providing the Bible, the best food we ever can have. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hands. You spoke the world into motion, my soul now to stand. And you stood before my failures and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me. This life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God. What could I do? stand in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. And I'll stand with arms side on abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender all.
Father, restore in us the wisdom that comes from above, that we may read your word regularly, avoid the things that are no good for us, and in doing so, grow strong in the Lord for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus we pray. Amen.